Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together in your presence tonight, that we might worship thee, O Lord, in right frame of mind, in spirit, and in truth, and in the beauty of your holiness. Thank you that thy word tonight, Lord, may you speak through my mouth, O Lord, so that those, O Lord, who hear thy voice, O Lord, may you please move them to believe and draw them to our Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. May every word for all thy people who have been redeemed by thee will also be, O Lord, drawn closer to thee. And steer our faith from glory to glory, that we might serve thee, O Lord, with gladness of heart and full of devotion. Cleanse me of my heart, O Lord, and my lips from anything amiss or sins that is in my heart. And thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb that can wash away my sins and grant me peace. Please, Lord, move me behind thy cross, that so that you, Lord, will be magnified and the Lord Jesus Christ be heard as he speaks to each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, the familiar passage that I've read before us by our brother, it speaks about two disciples of Christ who are walking along the road together. We are told which day it was when they were holding this conversation. It was the same day on which Jesus Christ arose from the dead. It was the day in which Christ completed his work of saving his people. Having died for them 3 days before this, having been buried for those 3 days, he now, on this first day of the week, what we call Sunday, has risen from the dead. He has conquered the devil. He has removed our sins. He is now bursting through the bonds of death, not only for himself, but for all believers. It was a day of great triumph, therefore. In some ways, you could say it was the most wonderful day which ever had dawned since the world began. These two disciples talking together were said here to be sad when Jesus joins in their company. In verse 17 of that chapter, Luke 24, he said unto them, "What manner of communications are this that you have one another as you walk and are sad?" He was drawing attention to the fact that they were talking together and their faces betrayed the fact that they were sad. You and I can smile as we think of the sadness of these two on the road to Emmaus, because we know for a fact there was no reason for them to be sad. But they didn't yet know that. We must make allowance for that fact. These two disciples were sad, really, without any just reasons. That's what I want to look for us to look at this evening with you. This sadness that these two disciples were sharing one another as they spoke in conversation, walking along the road to the little village, to this little village, which was called Emmaus, which was mentioned here in Luke 24, verse 13. my very dear friends, it is an experience which is very common to the Lord's people. The experience of sorrow, every true Christian finds this world a place of sadness. You know that there are some people who get entirely wrong idea about the Bible and about God. There are some people who think that if you are a true Christian, you're going to be happier than the world. Well, of course, the Christian is happier than the world. But it doesn't always appear like that in our individual personal experience. And Jesus said in Luke 6:25, "Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep." He also said in verse 21 of chapter 6 of Luke, "Blessed are ye that weep now, for you shall laugh." This is a world, you see, it is a very strange world. It is an upside down world. This is a world where those who have reason for laughter are often the saddest, and those who have reason to weep because of the judgment which God is going to send upon them in the end, because they don't see it, because they are busy laughing or enjoying themselves. They have a superficial happiness, which the Lord's people seldom have. That was true of these two on the road to Emmaus. And it's so typical of the Lord's people in this present life. They were sad. They look sad. Often the Lord's people do look sad. There's no exception to all of us. Let us for a moment observe what it was that was making these two disciples on the road, talking together, appear so visibly sad. It was not because they had lost, for example, their stocks and shares on the market. It was not that they had suffered personal tragedy. It was not that some political events had happened which upset their political preferences. It was not that even that their health was poor. They were sad for a spiritual reason. It was not even their sadness arose from the fact that something had happened which to them was unexpected. It was almost like the end of the world to them. And it was this that the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they loved, had been crucified 3 days before on the Friday and had been placed in the grave. Their sadness arose from this. They had put themselves into these words. They had hope that this was the person who was going to bring enormous blessings to his followers, that he was the one who was going to revive the cause of God within the nation. They had expected that this Jesus, who so clearly was sent from heaven by God, was going to bring blessings to Israel and revive the cause which they loved. But it didn't happen that way. On the contrary, he was crucified. And now, or so they thought, he was dead. That was the cause of their sadness. I need to point out to you, first of all, there was something in this sadness referred to here in this text that we have read, which was not praiseworthy. There was something here which was not worthy of being commended. And this is what our Lord draws attention to in this text. Christ is now speaking to them in verse 25 to 26. O foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. O not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. Let me remind you how it was that Christ was speaking to this man, to these two men. One of whom we know the name of as Cleopas, and the other we are not told the name of. We don't know who it was, but he was a disciple of Christ. They were traveling. We are told in verse 13, going to a village called Emmaus. You could say a distance of about 8.5 miles. Some say it's 7.5 miles. They were walking on this resurrection day, and they walk along a stranger. And as they walk along, I should say, along, a stranger came and accompanied them and spoke kindly to them. Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were in a sense blinded, that they could not know him or recognize him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are this? They have one to another as you walk and are sad. That's in verse 15 and 17. And of course, they didn't recognize him. Our Lord therefore begins this conversation. Here we have these two disciples talking sadly to one another. Why were they sad? Because Christ was dead. And lo and behold, Christ was actually talking to them. As they were sad and walking, he was drawing out the reasons for their sadness. If only they had known, sorry, how absurd their sadness was. He was the very one they were communing with as they walk. But they didn't know. Their eyes were shut. They lost their vision of him. They thought he was just an ordinary stranger, a traveler alongside them. There is something to be blamed about this sadness of theirs. Jesus does blame them. He says to them, O foolish ones, in verse 25, that's not something to be meant as too severe. It's a gentle rebuke to them. He's not attacking them in a stern way, but he's chiding them. Oh, foolish man and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have been saying. Have you not realized why it is that these things had to happen? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, we are told at verse 27, he expounded in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Well, we must not spend time on this so much. It's a very well known, I'm sure, by you all. God promised to send a savior one day who would come into this world, and he would bruise the serpent's head. That was to say, he would destroy the power of the devil. And that was the prophecy of the coming of Christ. Have you not understood? Why are you so sad? Did you not realize it was going to happen? This was prophesied, that Christ should die and rise and enter into his glory at the right hand of God. You and I must learn from this. A great deal of our sadness arises from the fact that we do not take seriously enough what the Bible has said. In the world, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I want to show you in Christian sadnesses where there is unbelief. I should say that in Christian sadnesses, our sadness or sorrow, where there is always unbelief, we are to take God seriously, that things are working together for good to them that love him, according to Romans 8:28. Oh, I know it's very easy for a preacher to say that, but it is perfectly true. The psalmist says, God performeth all things for me. In Psalm 57, verse 2. My friends, we saw the two saddened disciples on the road of Emmaus. But when they could stand back and see the panorama of the scenery of God's plan, of what he's going to do in raising Christ from the dead, then all their sorrows turn to glory and joy. We see that in the end of this chapter, where they tell their Lord they wanted him to spend the evening with them. And so our Lord goes in. And as a stranger, they ask him to say the grace. And as he breaks the bread, as the narrative says at another part of chapter 24 of Luke, they recognize him. He vanishes out of their sight. And they immediately, the same hour, they speedily go back to the place they had been in Jerusalem. And they say to the disciples, the 11 disciples, we have seen the Lord. And they say, we also have seen him. Peter saw him. And as they were talking, who appears in the midst but Jesus himself? He said, peace be unto you. How shall we react if we are in the place of these two disciples and in the presence of the 11? The other one we don't know, but Cleopas is one. We should be surprised, isn't it? Probably there is a little fear because some thought is just like a ghost. But how privileged they are that they see in person and in the midst of them as they go back to their place, as I narrated. How privileged they are to see the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And in the end, he said, peace be unto you. How we long to see him, isn't it? One day we will see him when he will take us to his glorious place. But in our worship and our devotional life and our prayer meeting, sometimes we focus on his words, but we less focus on his presence. And there is a contradiction to that. We must always remember that these two have emphatically say, those two brothers who have been walking with the Lord Jesus on the road to Emmaus, we have seen the Lord. And so we as well, we must demonstrate it when we hear the word of God, study the word of God together on our prayer meeting and our worship time together. We must demonstrate to the world that this is the reality we are seeing in our worship, that the Lord Jesus Christ is really a living Savior in the world today. So may we please remember that, that we are not just being filled with information whenever we study the Word of God. We must show the reality that we have seen the Lord, and the people will see it in action in our lives. May the Lord bless us as he says continually to us, peace be unto you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Brother Ennie. We'll sing, please, our last hymn.